Hey, sweetie.
I'll pull it to you.
Oh, no.
You know, that's what it is. It's basketball. It's not a soft sport.
I'm going to be a man, and if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. This man just gave me a job. I'm not signing that shit.
There's a lot I got to say, but I ain't going to do it here because it's free today. I ain't going to curse.
Okay. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the NBL Pocket Podcast, recording this on Tuesday, the 15th of December. The preseason game between the Hawks and Wildcats just concluded, so if you're wondering what kind of time frame we're at, where to begin? Lots going on. Before we do, I've got copies of Marvelous, the Brett Maher story by Body Nodge. I've got them in pristine condition, signed by Brett Maher, and they are for sale for, I think, $25-$30 on eBay. The link will be in the description. This is the penultimate handbook for... Penultimate? No. This is the ultimate handbook for the NBL. It goes through the whole history of the league, through the prism of Brett Maher. It's got some really great stories about the formation of the league and the league in its heyday in the 90s, as well as some really touching personal stuff about Brett Maher. And if you know his story, I don't need to belabor the point. Really brilliant read. In fact, I'm going to read a little bit from it to wet your beak some and see if you want to get... I'm going to lay a little onion, see if you want to get all the pages. Also, Patreon. If you like the podcast, do subscribe to the Patreon. There's articles up on there and a few other tidbits, and it really helps the show. And also a big thank you to Booktopia. They are on board with the podcast sponsor. If you do want to buy a book, do it via the link in the description, and I get a cut, which I'll probably piss up against the wall, but I'd appreciate it anyway. And of course, at the very least, rate, if you don't want to spend your hard-earned, rate and review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening. That helps the show too. Well, what are we going to talk about? Sadly, Andrew Canyon is not with me today. Very sad to see him busy, scheduling conflict. Miss him already. And I'm sure he'll be back in the future to have the chats. I'm going to get Body on as well. But anyway, what are we going to talk about today? Read from a bit of Marvelous. We're going to talk about the preseason game that just concluded, just the Hawks and the Wildcats. We're going to talk about the Rogue Bogues podcast. I listened to that. That's a really good show. Straight up, download, subscribe, listen to it right now. Do yourself a favor. Then we're talking about hubs for the NBL. I don't know if people heard this. It was mentioned on the Rogue Bogues podcast. Jock Landau, that signing is big news. That's going to be two-thirds of this whole conversation. And then I'm talking about the link between Kyrie Irving and Chris Golding. There's a strange relationship there. Not that they know each other, not that it's an actual, you know, real relationship. It's just a connection I've made in my mind. But anyway, before we do that, I want to read to you a piece from Marvelous. And as I said, this is not just about Brett Maher, although his story is really compelling and everyone should hear about it. Goes through all of Australian basketball, NBL and the Olympics. Bogut telling Gorgon to get FUCK'd. Chris Blakemore picking up chicks in Chicago. It is a good read. It's got a lot of fun stuff in it. But this passage I want to read is we've all seen the footage of Hammer, Shane Heal, bumping chests with Barkley, you know? And we remember from the same game there was that standoff between Andrew Vlahov and Karl Malone. And I don't think people really understand. As much as the Hammer thing was very exciting and it was a great, great moment, this fight between them, there was never, Hammer and Barkley were never going to go at it. For Hammer's sake, I'm glad that didn't happen. But the Barkley Vlahov thing could have gone a very different way. I'm going to read to you a piece from Marvelous just to sum up what that occasion was like, what that interaction was like, and also what Andrew Vlahov was like, my favorite ever player from the NBL or at any point. He was a really good player, a really big, strong guy. And this, we're going back into the history of the NBL here. So have a read. Here we go. Page 355. The USA won the clash at the Games, 101-73, but there was still more. The Boomers not prepared at any point to take a backward step in the face of any American arrogance or aggression. In a similar incident, Karl Malone had a run-in with Andrew Vlahov that probably would have been one of the best fights I would have loved to have seen, Brett Maher said. Vlahov is a big man, but Malone was bigger. I don't know if he was stronger, because I've seen Vlahov doing fighting drills before. I would love to have seen them go at it. That would have been awesome. They stood up nose to nose at the foul line. Vlahov, 201 centimeters and 108 kilos, and with a body forged of solid steel, was afraid of no one. Malone, a future NBA Hall of Famer, stood 206 centimeters and weighed 116. A massive man. He looked like he could easily have stepped from a basketball court and onto a bodybuilding stage. This surely would have been a clash of two titans. Over the page. To be honest, I think Vlahov would have won, Mars said of the escalating incident. You'd have to kill Vlahov to stop him, especially then. Now you could probably just roll him out of the way. Regardless of how big Malone was, Vlahov would have beaten him. Those NBA guys were a lot more front than substance. When Vlahov stood up to him and didn't look like he would step back, I reckon Malone was ready to back off. Fortunately for Malone's ego and reputation as a hard man, Australian captain Andrew, the voice of reason, Gaze, that joker, came in to appeal to both men to let the incident go. He touched Malone in the process, and the mailman then turned his focus on the less intimidating 95-kilo Gaze, telling him in no uncertain terms to butt out. Malone made himself look respectable by telling Drury to get lost, because I don't think Malone wanted any part of Vlahov. And I wouldn't have either. Vlahov is not someone you want to upset, especially if he's had a couple to drink. He's into headbutts, biting people's ears. He was crazy when he was coming through. He's settled down now, but coming through, nope. He wasn't one to be messed with. That's just a little taste of what you get when you get Marvelous, the Brett Mars story. And just on that, nothing bugs me more than Malone. And actually, I feel like Malone would have won the fight, funnily enough. Because he would have won the fight if Andrew Vlahov had turned his back, then Malone probably would have punched him in the back of the head. Because as we all know, Karl Malone's the dirtiest player he's ever played in the NBA. He's never hit anyone who's facing him. That's a stolen line from the great Pete Vesey on the Adam Ryan in Orlando's podcast. But yeah, Malone was filthy and he's laid some dirty shots, elbows on everyone who's ever played. And people say Detroit Pistons, I say Karl Malone. But that's Marvelous. If you haven't got a copy, if you're writing about the NBL, if you're interested in the NBL, if you're a fan, if you're an administrator, if you're an owner, probably too high and mighty to come and buy a book from me, but get a copy of this book. Approach the author. He's a very approachable man by all accounts. Let's talk about preseason games. Let's jump in. The only one that's been played is this Hawks-Wildcat game. I don't like to look in preseason too much. I got 4 dot points and I'm not going to elaborate on them very much. Cotton looked pretty good. Dengadel got hurt. Hopefully that's not serious. Justinian Jessup can shoot. Luke Travers? Question mark? He seemed to play a fair few minutes. There's a bunch of games coming up, so watch them, enjoy them, do what you feel. However, at the end of the highlights, there was a little tag up by NBL HQ, where to watch. And in the picture selling the league was Golding, Mitch Creek, and LaMelo Ball, funnily enough. So they're still kind of trading off that, which is interesting. No Bryce Cotton on that poster, which is like I would have thought at this point everything would be funneling through him. We're going to talk about that more later on. I want to talk about the Rogue Bogues podcast. Great listen. Definitely download, subscribe. Rate and review. Everything you do for this show, or actually, I'll rephrase that. Everything you don't do for this show, do for that one. The whole first episode was really good. The most recent one about the NBA and a little bit about the NBL was also really good. In it, he spoke about the NBA China hypocrisy and Daryl Morey scandal that I think happened earlier this year. I went to go and put, and one of the questions into the show was about Bogut's comments at that time, and it was really interesting. But I wanted to go back and look at what comments and tweets Bogut had made about China. And there's many, but most recently there was the cut the cord with China after the Afghan soldier pitcher debacle. But I couldn't go back far enough to the Daryl Morey scandal. I didn't get Bogut's comments on that on Twitter anyway. But I did see Bogut's promoting a company called Goalrilla, G-O-A-L-R-I-L-L-A, Australia. And they are their website, Australia's most trusted basketball ring. Andrew Bogut is their brand ambassador. I first became aware of Gorilla when I asked them to sponsor the show. They declined by the very common fashion of not replying, I think. Maybe I'm talking ill about them, but I sent out more emails than you've had hot dinners. And I mean all of you collectively sent out a lot of emails for sponsorship. Didn't get the best response in the world, but that's okay. The interesting thing is that Gorilla is actually an American company. Its parent corporation is called Escalade Sports Incorporated, and it manufactures its goods in the PRC, the People's Republic of China. I don't have a problem with that. I'm all for the global market, and I'll take any money where I can get it, even if it's from China. You know, even if Emperor Mao himself came with a bag of cash, I'd say, Mi Hao. Thank you in Chinese, whatever that is. Now, a person can dislike China's politics and human rights record, but see no problem with their manufacturing practice, each to their own opinion. But I just thought this is great. This is the global economy at play here. A US company trading under the name Gorilla Australia, helping kids in Victoria, not exclusively, but predominantly. If you look at Bogut's, he's given away a couple of hoops. With sporting goods made in China, promoted by Andrew Bogut. It's a beautiful thing. Listen to the Rogue Bogues podcast. More coming from the Rogue Bogues podcast. Spoke about the NBL hub that may spring up for the NBL after these five games of the schedule. They can hub the season in Victoria. Seems so bizarre. And then come out of a hub. The Vic government's involved. Unique situation. Unique place to have the hub. Unique practice to have the hub. I would have thought you'd go into a hub once you have a commitment of a case or fans or, you know, it's just interesting. NBL hasn't released much, but when it does, I'm really looking forward to looking into that. What an amazing decision by the NBL. Let's go to the more pressing news. Jock Landau. Andrew and I have been talking about it forever. They wanted this guy bad. They got him. It's official, and it's good for both sides. It would have Euro out. It would have NBA out. So hopefully it remains. But NBA doesn't look like it's on the cards for Landau at this point. I think Europe's his avenue. He's got those stains. We spoke about this last week, Andrew and I. He's got those stains that a basketball player has a hard time washing away with soap and astringent. College senior, mid-20s. Good athlete, but not great. They are things that will kill you. Really good player, and wish him well in the pursuit of the NBA. But I'll say this much. I'll say one word. Tickets. Big, big tickets. This kid has got tickets. Let's not forget, this guy was technically picked ahead of Brock Modem, Jonah Bolden. Not picked ahead of or instead of for the Boomers team, but certainly started over these guys. But Brock Modem, Jonah Bolden, Nick Kay, and Angus Brand. I mean, he's just another big. He's one of the bigs for the Boomers. You know, he's picked ahead of those guys. And Angus Brand, I think, is justified. But Brock Modem, Jonah Bolden, Nick Kay. You know, there's some quality players there. Reports have him as the highest paid local this season or in a long time. I didn't see the phrasing, but they don't give the amount, so don't read too much into that. But I wonder with that reporting whether that was he's the highest paid local on sheer dollar numbers or if it's taking into account the amount of money he'll save on toilet paper, because this young man is getting his ass licked clean by the basketball community. Good grief. It's not a speck. This guy doesn't need to buy toilet paper for the rest of his life. He's got very willing people look after him there. There's going to be some chapped tongues and some parched people gagging for a drip this week. Good heavens. Are players aggravated he signed such a big deal, a reported big deal, after the wage cut they took at the beginning of the season? My answer to that would be, well, what other options did you have? Let's take, for instance, Matt Hodgson of Brisbane Bullets. He opted out. Were international teams making offers to him he could use as leverage? Obviously not. Whereas Landau has and had, presumably, options predominantly in Europe, perhaps even NBA, but had options in Europe, monetary, big money on the table. So that's his leverage. So that's what kind of, so yeah, while they'd feel a little bit aggrieved, the thing is any of them could have opted out and renegotiated. It's how many bullets you had in your pistol in that negotiation that counts, not so much anything else. He's a really good player, Landau, like him a lot. But championship favourites. I mean, when he made this signing, or United made this signing with him, there was the little gold trophy coming up a lot on the Twitter and Facebook and a few other places. Even in articles, you know, does this catapult Melbourne to the top? I look at their roster, and in their starting lineup, I see one NBL all-teamer from last season in Scotty Hobson. I still see Barlow and Achiuwa playing lots of minutes, you know, and Barlow in particular. He's, you know, he just holds up every year, but, you know, at one point, you know, if he misses some time or, you know, really hits the skids, you know, that even with Landau there, that's, you know, they got to plug some holes with some players, with Barlow, Achul. Oh, Barlow is the injured one, pardon me. Achul, Jack White, you know, young guys, kind of clumsy, you know, got holes to fill. I'll say this, though. I feel bad for the guys at the bottom of the roster. They're going to have a fretful season wondering, I don't think if, but more when they'll be cut before the scheduled deadline to bring in another import, because Hobson at the present is their only import. So I feel bad for them, that sort of Dallacles hanging over them. All this stormy weather up the coast, with Byron Bay has been hit by these horrible storms. It's not from a low-pressure system off the coast. Oh, no. It's just a sigh of relief from United fans that they don't have to cheer for an American as their best player. I'm teasing here. United fans, take a seat. All the other fans of the league, step up. Controversial, I know, but I had Ian Thompson on this podcast, author of The Soul of Basketball. We spoke about the NBA's cynical view that in the post-Jordan era, they needed to funnel the NBA and the sport in the league through a lone superstar, like they had with Jordan in the 90s. I think there's an element of that in Melbourne, Andrew Gaze's former stomping ground. I think the NBL product doesn't make as much sense to an audience down there if it isn't funneled through a boomer and someone who looks like they do, for the most part. And I think that's Australia-wide as well, maybe being unfair to Melbourne and United fans, but let me finish my thought. I mean, fans lamented Trimble and Long stealing Golding's fanfare and spotlight last season. That just didn't work well. They just didn't seem to connect with the team. It didn't get it. They got along board when they started winning and looked really good towards the end of the year, and especially in the finals. But, and I think Bart Cummings puts it best. In Adelaide, they ask what church you go to. In Sydney, they ask how much money you make. And in Melbourne, they ask you what school you went to. And I think Melbourne fans are going to enjoy that funnel, that prism of watching the game through. You know, this kid is as clean cut as a crustless PB&J sandwich, dunked in a glass of skim milk. Yeah, he's so toffee, he'll probably play his games with a packet of Werther's Originals tucked in his jockey. These are all old terms that maybe you don't get. Google them. They're not offensive, but yeah, he's a clean-cut kid. He looks like if an alien came down from outer space and said, what does Melbourne look like? I'd probably point to Jock Landau. Again, I may be unfairly casting this on Melbourne fans alone because I'm shocked at how quickly the focus of this, the early focus of this, you know, preseason, early season, shifted from the best player the NBL has ever seen in Bryce Cotton, who's in search of his third championship, just by the by, in a row. Shifting from that, fourth championship, isn't it? Whatever. But three in a row. Shifted from Bryce Cotton to Jock Landau, Boomer, Geelong Grammer. You know, he's an MVP. Oh, Melbourne must be a championship lock now that they've got him. It's like Cotton's, he's standing right over there. And P.S., this is a one-year deal for Landau, who presumably jettisoned back to Europe if the NBA doesn't come calling. Whereas Cotton is presumably, you would think, permanent. You know, he signed a three-year deal. You know, Cotton's going to be around the NBL for a long time. If you start funneling your league through Jock Landau at the expense of Bryce Cotton, I think that's a mistake. But, you know, it's still early days. Maybe the NBL's not doing that. We'll see. But that's enough. But at the end of the day, Jock Landau, really good player, and he makes them really, really good. But did they spend? Will they get an import? What import can they afford? But definitely they're going to, you know, look to bring in that second import later in the year, even though their roster's finalized. I posed a question on Twitter that got some feedback. Nick Kay or Jock Landau? I'll just say this. By the end of the World Cup, which is the last time I saw, well, not the last time I saw Kay, but certainly the last time I saw Landau, Landau's stock was falling. Nick Kay's stock was rising. I look at that game in Spain. Landau, I don't remember being a huge part of it. Landau was essentially a starter in name only. Now, I didn't watch his games in Lithuania, and it's funny because I got a lot of comments, people sending direct messages to me on Twitter, at NBL Pocket Pod, just quietly, and very long-winded explanations of why Landau is better, and it did a lot of, not to discredit all of them, I love chatting with people on there, every one of them, but, you know, reputation doesn't put my skirt up, but the explanations were beautifully crafted and very long and thoughtful. And they did have that sense of, you know, that scene in Moneyball where they're sitting around the table going, he's got a lovely stance. It's a front feet. When it get cracks off the bat, you can hear it in the third deck. It's like, yeah, but why doesn't he hit good? And my reply to a lot of these was, well, tell me his best game from Lithuania. His best game with Zalgiris to watch that you'd recommend I watch. And I'll watch it and see, you know, if I can get him on a parallel thinking with you. I haven't given my answer as to where things are better yet. But, and they'd go, oh, I didn't watch him in Lithuania. But, so hang on, the last time you saw him was in the World Cup too. Then what are we talking about? If anyone has watched him in Lithuania and goes, oh, here's a game you got to watch, here's what he's capable of, send it to me. I have asked that question to about 10 or 15 people, and every answer I get back is, well, I saw the highlights. It's like, well, everyone looks good in highlights. But do get in touch with me if anyone's out there. My answer to the question, Nick Kaye or Jock Landau, you're only as good as your last game, and Nick Kaye played better. That's my answer. I've said some pretty negative shit here about Jock Landau. I want to make sure he's a good player, great signing for United, better signing for the league. Fantastic. My one question is, does his reputation precede him? Well, now that's done. Let's go into the last topic here. Kyrie Irving and Chris Golding. How are the two linked? They're not really, just in my mind. But I'll see if I can spit it out and see if you're into it. Golding signed with United in the offseason. Good signing, good player. I'd like to know the amounts to know how good a signing, but that's not how the NBA operates. By all accounts, it was a decent amount, and they got him for 3 years. My question is, where was he going to go? We talked about leverage before with Matt Hodgson and the opt-out with the wage cut. Where was Golding going to go? Was he going to go internationally? I asked some people who I know who report on those leagues internationally. I said, does Chris Golding have any interest from clubs? Their answer was, no. We haven't heard anything. Who are you talking about? He's got a young family. He's just got married recently. He's entering a new phase of his life. Does he want to relocate to Adelaide? This is not a slight on Adelaide at all, but did he want to sign a one-year deal and then at 32 look at signing in Tasmania? Does he want to give up Melbourne's sprawling coffee side streets for Tasmania? Tasmania, by all accounts, a lovely place, but does he want to do that? Did Melbourne United use that as leverage? Anyway, here's my point, and here's where it's going to tie into Kyrie Irving, so come with me here. Let's say he signed for $250,000 for 3 years, okay? I don't know if that's the number, just throwing that number out there. His agent would take 10% of that. That's $25,000. So $225,000 of that $250,000 is finding Chris Golding's pocket, pre-tax or whatever the hell else. If I was United, I would have sat across from the table and said, listen, drop the agent fees, and we'll pay you $235,000. Which is less than 250, but when you don't factor in agent fees, it all goes straight into his pocket. So he's making an extra 10 grand each year. It's 30 grand over the life of the contract. Nothing to sneeze at. Decent amount of money. I wouldn't turn down 30 grand for no good reason. Win-win, right? Chris Golding makes more money. Melbourne United save money to potentially buy more players, build a better facility, whatever. Bigger Christmas function? I don't know. I don't care. But that's the thing. Chris Golding, what do you need an agent for? At this age, 31, three-year deal. You'll be 34 when you come out of it. This is the last major contract of consequence you need to debate. And you know your worth. And this is where Kyrie Irving comes into it, because it makes me laugh if you've heard his comments recently about, I don't talk to the media, they twist words, they're pawns, blah, blah, blah. It makes me laugh because, you know, you won't talk to the press, but you demonize the press as you're everything that's wrong. Meanwhile, the agent is literally just plucking money out of your pocket and not exactly loose change neither. You know, you don't want to talk to the media. Get your agent to do it. You pay him enough. At this point, Kyrie Irving's made about $230 million in his career, so he's paid his agent somewhere in the figure of, $23 million. And he's paid him because you're afraid to talk like man-to-man to your employer. You don't have the balls to talk to your employer and say, I want more money, or this is what I think I'm worth, this is my contract. You got to pay some guy to do your dirty work. It's absolutely pathetic. It's the height of being a pawn and being pathetic if you can't approach another man or a woman, depending on who your boss is, and approach them and sit down with a logical thought and have the plums to say, here's what I'm worth, pay me. If you haven't got that skill in your toolbox, I can't help you. And if you're sort of worried about the numbers of, oh, what do I ask for? You know, I'll tell you how you work out your value. You go to Best Buy and you buy a copy of NBA 2K for 50, 60 bucks, and all the contracts are in there. Pick a player you like, see what he's getting paid for. Pick a player who plays your position who's a similar player, maybe a bit worse, a bit better. See what he's paid and ask for more. And then keep pestering the other side until they pay you what you want. Or then you risk signing for that amount somewhere else. It's not a hard contract to negotiate. It's just whether you have the plums to do it. That's just me. I'm in a salty mood today. And you know, what better way to take it out on something like that? Guys, that is, guys and girls, that is the end of the NBL Pocket Podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. You heard a little bit from Marvelous. Marvelous, by the way, is selling off the charts. Body sent me a whole box worth. I sent off just three yesterday. I hope they make it for Christmas. I mean, by all accounts, Australia Post assured me they will. But gee, it's COVID, it's post, it's this, it's that. Tough. I really hope it makes it to you and everyone have a Merry Christmas. More than anything else, as I said, if you want to buy a copy of Marvelous, look in the description. Want to buy another book, Booktopia. What other crap do I sell? Patreon. Get on board. If you like the podcast and want to support it, be really appreciative and really appreciated. And I love chatting to people on there. And finally, what's the last thing? Yeah, rate and review. Why not? And if you haven't subscribed, if you like the show, really looking forward to getting Andrew back and Body on. And I've got an interview with Bill Woods coming up, who used to be on Channel 10. We talk all stuff, NBL past and present. I'm rambling. See you next time.